is Albert Grande from pizzatherapy.com. I want to present to you Legends of Pizza, Volume 3, Evelyn Sloman, The Lost Interviews. This was an interview I had done a while ago, and unfortunately my computer crashed, but I was able to bring back some of the files, and I want to present to you Part 2. Evelyn is a major pizzaiolo. She shares incredible secrets. In part one, she gave us an entire history of pizza. In part two, she starts off explaining how pizza came to the United States and shares some of her most amazing secrets. Listen carefully. You may want to take notes. This interview is sponsored by the Legends of Pizza series, Legends of Pizza Volume 1 and Volume 2. They're available at legendsofpizza.com and pizzatherapy.com. I present to you Evelyn Sloman, Legends of Pizza, Volume 3, The Lost Interviews.
Well, you touched on it earlier. I got to ask you about how did pizza come to the United States?
Well, in the latter half of the 19th century, you had immigrants. This is the first wave. There are several waves of immigrants. And the first pizza prototypes that were available in the United States were from home cooks who were baking using the bakery ovens in the afternoon after the bakers had used it. They would bring their dough, and they would make their own kinds of, which was more like a della casa type thing. And which is a home-style pizza, but it didn't have cheese on it. It was just tomato on top of bread. And as more people moved in and there was more of a demand, the bakers actually started to produce what we call bakery-style pizza, which was in a pan. Again, more focaccia, the gravy or plain. Gravy is what we Easterners call it.
That's right. What I've known that kind of, it's kind of bakery, Italian bakery pizza, and it's been called to me Sicilian pizza, or I think on Long Island they call it grandmother's pizza, which is kind of a thick crust pizza. Is that what you're talking about?
In fact, I'm from the area where the grandma pizza was born.
Is that our correct take? They're not the same then.
No.
Sicilian and grandmother's pizza are two
Sicilian
different things?
Sicilian grandmother pizza is different. And the focaccia, those types of pizzas were different than even Sicilian pizza.
Mm-hmm.
They're closer related, but they really had more bread and a little smattering of topping on them. It's not like what we think of pizza today. And so, really, they were really more in the focaccia realm. And then, at the turn of the century. Now, there may have been other people who might have started pizzeria before Lombardi. However, they did not get a license, and we have not heard of them. So
Gennaro Lombardi is the first guy.
Gennaro Lombardi was the first guy. He was the first guy to start pizza in the United States. And he was a very enterprising young man. He started out getting a job as a baker in Brooklyn. And he was also working in the grocery store where Lombardi's was, in the building that it was in on the bottom floor. They lived on the flat above. And so he worked in the marketplace during the day. At night, he worked as a baker. And he moonlighted as a baker, making pizza. He would make pizzas, and he would tie them up in paper and string and bring them back to the sell in pieces to the factory workers in Soho at the time. And they didn't have an oven. All they did was he heated the stuff on a potbelly stove. And this was the first pizza that he was producing. And then I think it lasted about a couple of years, and the owner of the building came to Lombardi and offered to sell it to him, business and building. And the Lombardi bought it. And that's where he got the idea of, let's put a real pizzeria in here, being from Naples. He also, there is a Lombardi, and I would find this out much, much later. Because, I'm very good friends with Jerry Lombardi. He and I are, we're like family.
And he's the grandson?
He's the grandson. Yeah. And in this French documentary film that they've done on pizza, they actually went back to Naples and traced the Lombardi family to, you know, the pizzeria that they have in Naples. And so Lombardi actually knew how to make pizza before he came to the United States. So when he opened this place, he started to import people, to sponsor people, to help others like him who came from Naples to come into the United States. And he worked with a friend who was a lawyer, and men who had to come into the United States from Naples and Sicily, who kind of, some of them had to disappear, he would take, and they would live upstairs, and he would teach them how to make pizza. And so they would have a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the sponsorship, and because he was sponsoring them into the United States. Some of them stayed around New York, and a lot of them just disappeared into, you know, the Northeast and opened up pizzerias. And he was kind of like the Johnny Appleseed of
pizza.
Up until the 20s, hundreds of men actually learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably seen the famous photograph from Lombardi's in 1905 where he's standing in the doorway with Titano. And there's been speculation that, well, it's Titano that taught Lombardi how to make pizza because Lombardi had the store owner outfit on, which is ludicrous. But if you see the family pictures, which are absolutely amazing, shows these guys, four guys at once on this huge table grappling with the dough by hand. And these guys had arms that were, you know, foot and a half. They were humongous. They probably couldn't bend their arm. And it was a back-breaking thing to produce the pizza. And their hours were also insane. They were from 7 a.m. until 4 a.m. So there would be no one pizza maker doing that. It would have been impossible. Besides the fact that when I was good friends with Jerry Perot, and that was his father, Jerry Perot told me that he worked with Lombardi and that Lombardi brought him into the country. And there was none of this. My father taught Lombardi how to make pizza, so I'm going to quash that rumor. But at any rate, I like to call it, see, I don't call it neo-Neapolitan. I know that Peter Reinhardt, who is a wonderful writer and, you know, the book is great, really enjoyed it.
And you're talking about American Pie,
I don't agree that it's neo-Neapunk. The pizza that was made at the turn of the century here was not Neapolitan. They were not using the same type of flour, not using the same type of tomatoes, not using the same type of cheese. It's very, very different what they ended up having to do because of what was used. And I really think that Lombardi, being very industrious kind of guy, made do with what was available. And the flour that was here is very different. I believe that he was using more baker's technique for the fermentation of his dough as opposed to what they were doing in Naples. Obviously, they weren't using San Marzano tomatoes. They were not using buffalo mozzarella. They were making their own Fiore di Latte kind of fresh pizza cheese. Very different. And, of course, the coal oven, which is different from wood. I kind of like to give it the Lombardi. I call it the Lombardi formula because basically that's where that originated, from that pizzeria.
Okay. And you knew the Lombardi family from the Titonos. You made pizza with them, correct?
Yes.
And so let's cut to the chase, Evelyn. How about some tricks? What did you learn from these guys that you can share with me?
Well, you know, first of all, for them, it was just their life. It kind of like flowed out of their fingers. They pretty much, was through touch and feel, they used all their senses. And that's how they taught me how to make pizza. I would say loosely use measurements. I mean, loosely, they dump a bag of flour in there they're using the same old beat up utensil for, you know, adding the water to it, a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what, you know, there would be all these barometers of days, temperature, the season, because these people have an incredible history, summation of all the days of their lives that they've been making dough every day. And it's amazing how they were so intuitive about being able to just adjust something every day because of the way the weather was or the way, what season it was. It could be very humid one day or it could be super dry, and they would adjust accordingly. and what they were going for was a particular feel. And also they used their ears, and that taught me how to do that too, where you listen to the dough. You listen to the noises that the mixer makes. And, so this is how I learned how to make pizza.
It doesn't sound very scientific.
It's not scientific, it wasn't scientific at all. It wasn't scientific at all. And in fact, it took me, I was pretty good at it while I was in New York City doing the same thing, doing it the same way they taught me. But I was, the dough ruled me. I did not rule the dough. You know, only starting out, I didn't have the 50 years experience that they had, but that bugged me. I was very enthralled with the bread movement that was happening in Berkeley, and which is why I ended up here. what was going on with artisan bread, and I was a student of that, and I was reading Calvel in French and thinking, why can't I apply some of this stuff to pizza making? And so I was messing around with all of that well into the 80s. Of playing around with longer fermentation, very long fermentation, high hydration dough. I was playing around with pre-ferment and got to go to Italy in 1991 and be the first American judge of the World Championship Pizza Contest. There I learned that they were giving their dough what they called a riposo, which means a rest. Now, I had been doing this on my own because I had read about it from Calvel, which he called the auto lead, and so I was doing it very informally because I thought it improved the mixing capacity and it improved, I mean, I didn't know in those days, you know, about gluten formation and all of that. I just thought, well, it works better. You know, I saw all of these guys using this technique in Italy.
And that ends part two, Legends of Pizza, volume 3, Evelyn Sloman, The Lost Interviews. I hope to recreate the rest of the files in the near future. In the meantime, make sure you check out Legends of Pizza, volume 1, and Legends of Pizza, volume 2, as well as the transcripts of Legends of Pizza. They're available at legendsofpizza.com and pizzatherapy.com. This is Albert Grande. I want to say thank you so much for all of your support. Pizza on Earth. Goodwill to all.